5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
His brain is gone. His body lives. The autonomic functions continue. But there is no mind.
Theology matters and will decide which Jesus you worship, the biblical Christ or the false Christ of this world.
You can't handle the truth!
Eternity is a long time to be wrong. You can either believe the Word of God and what the Word of God says, or you can continue to follow your false religion. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholicism, they are all false religions and false worldviews. There is only one worldview. That is Jesus Christ and what the Bible says.
Fascinating.
All right, yeah, strictly fascinating. As Spock said. All right, I am Richard Haas, and you got Charlie Brennan who's joining me today. And we are tag teaming this episode of EBC Radio at its unusually early time of 3 o'clock, and that's because I have someplace I need to be.
Well, it's
at
4 o'clock,
five,
Rich.
So...
Let's get the time right.
It's 4
o'clock.
Okay,
right
wait,
now.
Wait. Let's get
this
get right.
This time right.
Yeah, let's get it right. It's 3 o'clock where I am, and 4 o'clock where Charlie is. So, let's get this right. I got to be someplace at 5 o'clock my time, 6 o'clock Charlie's time. So now that we got that cleared. We're good. But anyway, welcome to It's Hard by Christ Radio. And we got a kind of unusual thing. Charlie is actually online and in the chat room. So now if you want to join us, and we kind of did this truncated and kind of quick and changed our time from 4 to 5. So, you know, we're still taking calls, and you can call us at area code 646-564-9793. And, you know, come just talk, blab. We'd like to hear from you. You know, we're going to be talking about basically continuing our conversation today on creeds, confessions, and how, you know, what that kind of really, how that impacts our theology overall. And, you know, I got a couple things I'm going to bring up on the side topic, too. I think kind of as the terminology, as I say, the youth always says, Russell's my Jimmies, because I kind of got into it, you know, the other day. Now, before we
were you
turn
in
this
the
over
pub?
To Carla,
you were in
yeah,
the
I
pub,
was in the
weren't
pub,
you, Rich?
I kind of I kind of stole this the term from you, really. But
I got wrestling my Jimmies from the pub.
Oh, okay. I took it from you, so I mean, you know. Why don't I'm going to give how you can get a hold of us and contact information, all that kind of fun stuff you can do, like I always do at the beginning of the show. But, like, again, you know, if you want to call us, you can do so right now live, field some questions. It doesn't have to be on theology, creeds, or confessions. It could be anything. Just blab Mormonism, Roman Catholicism. Maybe you got a Bible question. Maybe you got a question about Calvinism. Maybe you have a question, whatever it is. Maybe, you know, about the, you know, atheism. Maybe you got a question on evolution versus
how to
you know,
use a sonic screwdriver
to creation. How you work the sonic screwdriver? You never know. That could, you know, or you know, anything like that. You can do so by again calling, you know, 646-564-9793. People always yell at me. I get emails about, oh, you say that too fast. So I'm going to slow down so you can understand what I'm saying. You can reach us at 646-564-9793. And if you're listening on podcast, and obviously you're not going to be able to call us live, you can leave us a wonderful hate message or a nice message or a question or a comment or whatever else you want to leave. Just don't leave your kids dropped off at my front porch, because I just really don't want that. But, you know, if you want to leave a message, you can do that at 414-369-2242. You can follow us on Facebook at Empowered by Christ EBC, on Twitter at EBC Apologetics, and I'm going to lead this in while I get our show out there and actually on the social media on Facebook and spread it around as I normally do. Charlie, we got kind of yes. some interesting stuff going on in, at empoweredbychrist.org, and I encourage everybody to go there, just check it out, read our articles, because we got some new articles out. Speaking of which, Mr. Brennan is working on releasing a whole bunch of articles from his Brennan Unleashed blog, and I got a couple new articles out, but we'll talk about that later. But Charlie, why don't you talk about your newest article out there while I can get this posted and take care of some posting information here.
Okay.
And why don't you talk about your newest article, what that covers, and it's where it can be found and all of good
this
stuff.
This is not okay. We can sit here and quote unquote air quote this as a new article. But this article has been written and has been sitting and waiting to be proofread. Finally, I forced our general editor here at EBC, Stephanie Bolesky, to sit down and finally get it cranked out, because I have like 13 or something blogs that have to get proofread by her. So she's gonna try and get a couple knocked out tonight. I know if I have to literally force her to sit down and do it, I will. Because I have that opportunity right now to do so. But I will put it out. It's called the YOLO. I don't know if you guys have been hearing all the cool hipsters using that term, YOLO. You only live once. It's referring to and talking about how that statement is true. But for the Christian, it means so much more, and there is so much more truth within it. And at the same time, we need to, in essence, kind of talk about how we have had we've had a lot of things that we use anagrams and stuff that we use like YOLO hijacked by the secular world, and I kind of talk about how we should try and not necessarily hijack YOLO, but use YOLO in a sense of we only live once, to live it right for the glory of God and unto Him. So go and read that very short article. A lot of the articles I'm going to be having coming out actually going to be very, very short. So YOLO is one of them. I have one on Lent coming out. I have one on the BSA a couple years ago when they made the decision to allow homosexual youth into the organization. I have one written on that. I have Lent, that. I have a bunch I could. Be looking out for those. Also, to make mention, Stephanie Bolesky has also has multiple titles right now, as I do and as Rich does. She's general editor and director of design here at Empowered by Christ, and she will be working, and Wednesday she will be on the show to talk about the EBC store that we will be having up. The prices we're doing the store through Zazzle. So if anyone has dealt with Zazzle in the past or whatnot, we know the prices are a little bit higher than what we would like. But what we are doing when we go to produce, when we go and put these out, we are trying to keep them as low as we can, and we're taking as little of a cut as we can. Zazzle will give us like a 10%. We can determine how much profit we make off of each item, but that will drive up the price. So we're going to try and keep it at the very bare minimum. And eventually what we will do is the Zazzle store will continue to be used, but we will start to make our own shirts. And what we may start doing with Zazzle is Zazzle may end up becoming more of a really do that we may not know how to do really well. We will go to Zazzle for that. But like I said, we will eventually start doing our own shirts, our own stuff. So for the meantime, we're going and running everything through Zazzle. So if you want to jump over to our Zazzle store, it is linked on the website at empoweredbychrist.org. So you can go ahead and do that. And there are a few things Stephanie is going through and making sure the grammar is right on several things. But there are bumper stickers there. There are a few mugs. There's travel mugs. There's thermoses there. There's a bunch of stuff in the store right now. And so definitely if you get a chance, go ahead and look at that. When Rich comes back, which he's not back yet,
I'm back.
He is back. Is back.
Yeah. Yep.
So
continue on what you're doing. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was actually wrapping up what I was saying, but I did hear rumors that a couple nights ago you got a very, very interesting call late at night.
Yes, I did. That was pretty good. We got some prankster, our general editor, decided to call into my phone when I was busy at work and say that she was calling from the COG, or Church of Christ, and...
Church of God.
Church of God, sorry. Yeah, Church of God. And I'm like, kind of like, you know, normally my phone doesn't ring. And I should have realized when it wasn't the number that would have rang to be forwarded to from our, that it wasn't. But that's what happens when you're, when you turn around, you work a full shift, and then you go back and load, and you're only working on like a 45 minute nap, and you're doing two shifts. So, yeah.
Well, and that's, you know, Rich finally, because what happened is she did that, and then she handed me the phone. And I'm like, you know, I forget what I said. I said something along the lines of, like, you know, Rich, you really should be taking care of these calls or something like that. I don't remember what I said, but.
Yeah. It was, you know, definitely. All right, well, I got most of the stuff posted out, and I'll keep doing it as we're going through the show. Like I said, we got I don't know, oodles upon whatever.
I got a bunch of notifications here on Facebook about Rich Haas posting places. What the heck, man?
I'm just going post crazy, man. You know? It's just, you know, what I do. You know, usually I do this before we do the show, but, you know, like I said, we had to truncate a schedule and switching things around with everything shorthanded and real quick, but, you know, it is what it is.
It's
what we do with what we can do, because, you know, we don't do this full-time. We do this part-time. We do it when we can, you know, to the glory of God. You know, God in his, you know, sovereign will allows us. We do this part-time. It seems like, you know, it seems like full-time, doesn't it?
It doesn't.
I mean, you know, the way...
I was going to say, it doesn't seem like this is a part-time job for us.
Like I've often said, you know, to the sovereignty and glory of God, God allows two idiots, you know, basically to
well,
do apologetics.
I don't know why you want to talk about Joe like that when he's not able to be on the air.
Oh, come on, that's not fair. But, you know, it doesn't feel like a part-time job sometimes. I'll tell you what, there's a lot involved in doing what we do. And, you know, I'm not complaining or whining because I enjoy it. It's something I've discussed with you. I'd like to do this 80 hours a week and not have to work my, you know, 60-hour a week job that I'm working now and do this full-time. But, hey, you know, it isn't right now going to happen. You know, someday if that's God's will, it'll be God's will and that'll happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, it is what it is. So I enjoy doing what we do when we can do it as we do it now. But, as you know, I was posting all over the place and, you know, you're talking about your YOLO article. Yeah, and, you know, actually, when we were posting that, and we post our stuff all over social media, and that's, you know, because we do a lot of Facebook evangelism and witnessing apologetics, if you want to say, between our website.
No,
and our
we don't.
Stuff.
Not
no.
at all.
You know, besides going out, and you know, like I said just earlier, you guys have heard me talk about this on previous shows, getting more involved in street preaching, getting out and witnessing and stuff this summer. I'm in a great area to do that where I am, right down by the lake. I mean, literally can see the lake from my back, from my front yard. So, I mean, you know, right by Lake Michigan, you know, great witnessing opportunities in summer. So I'm going to get more involved with that. But we were posting your article and I've heard nothing but good compliments, you know, about it. You know, you've nailed it and people are really, you know, we got several posts at the Empowered by Christ DBC, Facebook page and, you know, just people just really liking it and, you know, just a lot of good feedback from places we've been posting it. Now, unfortunately, you know, you handled I wouldn't say easy topic, but you pointed out and, you know, it's kind of got people thinking. The topic I wrote about was on, and, you know, this is kind of important dealing what we're dealing with creeds and confessions and theology. And because ultimately our creeds, our confessions dictate our theology and vice. They're interlinked. You can't get around one without the other, you know, there's no way real around it. A lot of times what I've seen is as we talked about last week's show is if you're not in a church that has creeds and confessions, this is not, you know, true Scotsman fallacy, or I'm not begging the question or making the fallacy absolute. That if this is always the case, but what I have found is if you're in a church that does not have creeds or confessions, or maybe you don't say them all the time, or, you know, that's fine. I'm not saying there has to be some magical formula to it. You know, maybe it's something you guys do once a month, and that's fine, whatever. But if you're in a church that doesn't hold to some type of, you know, Apostles' Creed, you know, Westminster Confession, you know, or something, you know, doing that. If you're in a church, it's just basically said, oh, I'm going to throw the confessions and creeds out the window, and we're never going to do them, and they're old time, and constricting the church and the new revelation that God might want to give. That's a warning sign, you know, because your theology is about really to go off the rails and bounce all over the place. They kind of keep us in guide. They kind of keep us in line with Scripture. It's not that the creed or the confession is above the Scripture or even equal to Scripture, but it comes from Scripture and it guides us back to Scripture. It's kind of like if you're driving down the road and you know you got those waves. Picture, you know, driving down a two-lane road and, you know, you're going down the road and it's foggy and you got the rumble strips on the side. Well, picture the confessions and the creeds as those rumble strips that when you start getting off to the left side or the right side, you start hearing the rumble. The bum, 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 and you're tired to pull you back onto the road. Well, the Bible's the road. Well, you know, you need those creeds and confessions to keep you in the center. And speaking of that, what I found is, you know, your YOLO article.
I'm YOLO.
Basically, you know,
I mean, that's more
good, and it really pointed to what you were talking about, and it did a good job, and got a lot of compliments and a lot of good feedback. Now, as you know, that's your area. You write a lot of tough stuff, and you write a lot of good uplifting stuff as well. I like to go right for the, if you want to say, wrestle people's jimmies. I'm stealing the terminology from, the Reformed Pub over there. I guess, because I was stealing it from you, and, you know, you took it from them. So, you know, by third party, I'm stealing it from them. But ultimately, I go kind of a lot of times wrestle people's jimmies what I write. And I wrote an article, and it's not really a new article, but it's addition to a couple other articles. I kind of more nailed it on the head because we had other articles dealing at ABC. But it's basically, it talked about is it biblical to have women pastors and elders? And, of course, we know from Scripture it's not. We know from Titus. We know from Timothy that it's not. You know, we see it in 2 Corinthians that it's not. And, you know, we see it all throughout the New Testament that it's not some cultural norm at the time where, oh, this is a cultural thing. Because, you know, Paul makes it very a distinctive argument that it was from the time of Adam, which also ultimately points to the doctrine of federal headship and the establishment of federal headship and how, you know, man is over and has a federal head. And it points back to how Christ, it points also back how Christ was, you know, the groom over the bride, in a reference to how the church should be ran. And, you know, we see this all through Scripture in Titus, and we see definitions of, okay, you know, the pastor has to be the husband of one wife. Well, how can a woman be a, well, maybe nowadays with the PCA USA accepting women lesbian pastors, you know, which is another topic, which if you guys saw in the news, they just ordained the other day to their first lesbian. I don't know if you saw that, Charlie. Their first lesbian.
I did.
Pastor.
I do want to put this out here, though, real quick, Rich, and this is a disclaimer. The PCUSA is not Presbyterian. They are apostate.
Right.
Don't let the Presbyterian Church of the USA throw you off. They have not been Presbyterian for a very, very long time. Actually, they have not we could probably make a good historical argument that they have not been Presbyterian since the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, has split from them way back when. So,
Wasn't it like early 70s?
Hang on one second. There should be a copy of,
Well, you're looking at
a copy of the Presbyterian book that I got her laying around here somewhere.
Well, he's looking that up.
Down here, downstairs. So
he's looking that up. Basically, I wrote the article, and, you know, we see this extent basically through, you know, that women should not be pastors and cannot be elders, and they can do a lot of other things. I covered that in the article, that, you know, this was not a bashing women article. This was not a This is what 2 hours of sleep does to a person tonight. A chauvinistic article. You know, it lifted women up and put women in a proper place in the church, and they can do everything and anything, and a lot of times better than men. And it's not that I don't think women can preach better than men, because I'll be honest with you, I think women would probably are a lot better preachers than most men, just because they are more empathetic and more aware of what's going on in the crowd they're listening to. But the problem dictates with what the scripture is saying, because scripture says women cannot be pastors. Well, women cannot be pastors. It's not my personal feeling at the end of the day. It's what women can and cannot do according to scripture. And there's just two offices in in a church they cannot hold, pastor and elder. They can go out and evangelize. I would have no problem, you know, if I'm out doing apologetics, if I'm out street witnessing, and a woman is out, you know, giving the gospel, I'm not going to stop her from doing that. Yeah.
I actually should have just looked at my phone, because Stephanie had sent me, she had Googled this. I love it when Stephanie's at work and we're doing the show and she listens, because she becomes kind of our, she becomes like our Android.
Yeah.
And so... she said, according to Google, June 11th, 1936 was when the OPC split off and was formed from the PC USA. So
I was only off by 40
years. It's been a few years.
Yeah, I was off by a few.
You know,
I was off by 40
years.
But, I was off 40 years. Okay. But now, like I said, you know, basically what we're dealing with a lot of times, you know, and I wrote this article. I put this out there, and I posted it all over. And, you know, right away, I don't even know if I'm friends with this person or not. If this person is friends with me. And, you know, if you guys want to follow me, you can on Facebook at Richard Haas. You can go ahead and send me a friend request or follow along. And basically, I was posting this out there, and this person, I guess I kind of wrestled some jimmies, because this one person's like, I got into this long debate. You know, they're like, oh, yes, women can be pastors. I'm like, well, did you read the article? No. I'm like, well, go look at the scripture references. No, they can't. Well, you're supposed to have a new revelation. You know, that was for – so I went through, and the long gist of it, I'm like, basically, in the end, if you're basically saying I need a new revelation from God, and it kind of ended kind of funny, and, I, you know, I might kind of post that because I took a screenshot. It was kind of funny. I'll just blur the person's name out. They're like, ask so-and-so. And I'm like, I don't need to ask so-and-so, you know, that person. I'll ask scripture, and that's what we should be looking for final authority. Because basically what I ended it with was that this person automatically basically is turning God into a liar by saying that we need a new revelation. Because ultimately, and where I was going with this was trying to get him to say if he believed if God's word was inerrant or if it was fallible. Or if he believed in the word of God, you know, as an inerrant source. Because if he said it was inerrant, then why would you say you need a new source or a new revelation? You don't. And this is a lot of times problems with a lot of these churches and stuff that go, oh, we need a new revelation. You know, the Pentecostal churches, the Pentecostalism, where you got like, or the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation. Or, you know, these churches that go into dominionism and all these different sects
of
this.
Well, you know, speaking of stuff of this nature, Benny Hinn Ministries has released on Facebook.
You're fading in. No.
I said Benny Hinn Ministries on Facebook has released a statement on the 23rd of this month. and basically saying that Benny Hinn was no longer in the hospital. He returned to his home in California. But I guess he had some medical issues, and he had gone and sought a physician. Well, I find that kind of contradictory to his theology.
Oh, yeah.
And why couldn't he just heal himself? And in all seriousness, I really do hope that, you know, he is okay and that he is, you know, and I wish he would come and repent and turn to the gospel of Christ, the true gospel of Christ, not the one that he preaches. But you know, it is, it's kind of self-evident that his theology is flawed. His theology is not of that, is not that of Scripture. If he or someone in his church cannot heal him, then he has to go seek a physician. Just
right.
goes to show how flawed his theology actually is there. But
right.
I didn't
and
know
then,
if
you
had seen that at all pop up or whatnot.
Yeah, I actually did. I was going to write something on that, and I just haven't gotten around to it. But I'm glad he's out of the hospital. I mean, and it's a thing. It's like, you know, a lot of times, you know, and I'm going to just say this in brief, you know, as apologists and stuff, we get this thing, oh, you don't care about people. And no, or false teachers. No, our goal isn't just to, we're not just trying to point out, oh, look, there's a heresy. There's a false teacher. There's a heretic, whatever. That guy's outside of Scripture. That guy's outside of Orthodox. We actually are pointing it out, first of all, to point out the error that others don't fall into it. Second of all, when we're pointing these big-time pastors or whatever, that, you know, in the hopes that God uses that decoration of pointing out the heresy to make them realize and repent and to come back into fellowship within the body of Christ, within the Orthodox body of Christ, and not be outside of the body of Christ by teaching heresy. It isn't just to make a name for ourselves and be those watchmen on the wall that are always saying everything's a heresy. No. It's ultimately, like I said, to point out, first of all, so other sheep don't fall into the trap. Second of all, that those people repent and come back into the body of Christ. And I think that a lot of time, you know, people miss that, or that's not put out there enough. And as far as what we're saying, as far as, like, you know, dealing with what I was saying, ultimately where it ended was, I just said, basically, you're turning, so you're saying God's a liar, because either God's sovereign or God's not sovereign, and we don't need a new revelation, because either God's word was complete, otherwise God was a liar if you're not saying God's word is complete. You know? Ultimately. And we lost Charlie. He'll be back in here in a minute. I'm sure he will be. He was having phone issues as he just texted me. So he'll be back in here shortly. But ultimately, what we run into is that God, you know, this guy, basically I said to this guy that, hey, you know, either you're turning by saying that we need a new revelation and we need a new revelation into God, you know, to have God talk, you know, basically say that, here we are. Here's Mr. Brennan. You there, Charlie? There he is. He kind of dropped off, but he's here. I think.
Okay.
Hello,
how am
Charlie?
I now? I dropped
okay.
off. Yeah, I'm here. I was.
Now you're loud.
Okay.
Now you're loud. I don't know what you did, but you fixed whatever your problem was.
Oh, I'm on Wi-Fi calling, so I don't know if it had a little bit of an issue, because here at the home of our general editor, Stephanie Bleski, the Wi-Fi can sometimes be a little spotty.
Okay. I was just finishing up. I was just saying that basically this person that I was talking to as he dropped off, basically he's turning God into a liar because he's saying we need a new revelation. God word, and God wasn't, you know, sovereign enough to say everything he had to say in his written word. And that's a problem, mm-hmm. like I said, with these Pentecostalistic churches and these NRAs and stuff. And where does this stem from? It stems from the fact that long ago, even though, you know, they've been down the road and maybe they didn't start out bad, you know, Pentecostalism didn't start out on purposely bad, but as I've often said, all you need really to ruin something is time and people, and you'll ruin it. And these churches, these denominations, and all the NAR and New Apostolic Reformation never did follow creeds and confessions. They have their own creeds and confessions, and so does Dominionism, but they're not Orthodox creeds and confessions. If you look at what they're stating, they take Scripture and pull it out of context. There's no biblical hermeneutical structure to where they pull their Scripture from, and a lot of times with the New Apostolic Reformation, same thing. But like Pentecostalism.
Hey, Rich, quick question.
Yeah.
I just got a message on Facebook. Is there any white noise coming from me? Because I got a Facebook message from Stephanie saying that she can't tell if it's you or me, but there's a very small amount of background/white noise.
There
it
is,
could be
when
me.
You're talking, it sounds like when I'm talking, you're getting feedback through there if you got the computer speakers on.
No, I'm doing it through my phone through Bluetooth.
I don't know. There might be some back. I have no clue. Once in a while, I hear something in the back when you're talking. But
I'm wondering if I am not picking up Bluetooth-wise something that's just somehow getting fed through. But oh well.
Yeah.
If it gets really bad, I'm pretty sure that Stephanie will let me know, or if you hear it, just kick me out of it, and I'll call back in and see if that fixes it. So.
All right. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, basically, a lot of these groups, it's because of lack of creeds and confessions, and it affects their theology, and that's the main thing, and that's what we're kind of getting at today. I mean, there's a lot, that's why these churches that allow women to be pastors, and again, I'm not saying women shouldn't have and don't have and are not very important or hold very important roles within a church, because Charlie will agree with me on this. You know, women, there's only two offices women cannot handle, and it's elder and pastor.
You mean
positions.
Deacon and elder?
Deacon and elder. Well, I'm just saying pastors in general.
Pastor
people
is
are
an
more,
elder.
I know, but you know.
Just ask Stephanie. After the last Lord's Day, I had a little rant after the morning worship
Charlie
service.
Charlie goes off on these rants. But for simplistic reasons, and what people are used to calling things church offices, I'm purposely doing it that way. But as I said, you know, if let's say you, me, and Stephanie were out street preaching wherever, right? And we're all together, and she started preaching, I wouldn't have a problem with her. Preach away, because we're not in the confines of the structure of the church. And that's where this outlaw, you know, goes through. It's to the confines of the church. You know, if you're out evangelizing, that's fine. Preach away. This is to, you know, an office within the church, the confines of the church. And I think there's a lot of confusion in that, and there's a lot, you know, with people. But I just found it funny. It's like I said, it really rustled some jimmies on Facebook when I posted that. I mean, a lot of times, but Charlie, haven't we found that? You'll post stuff, and you'll get the positive comments, and...
No, I have written some things I think that, you know, would probably have gotten some negative feedback and throwback, but there's a lot of, you write more on the worldview issues where I will write the worldview issues, but I look at them not from that worldview issue standpoint, but from a pure theological understanding, and that's where I write from. And so, you know, it is funny though, because there have been so many times where I have, you know, either been talking to you or recently talking to Stephanie, and I just like, this article is going to rustle so many jimmies. This article is just going to get under so many people's nerves. And when I start writing it, and then when you or Stephanie have read it, it's kind of like, this is not where I expected you to go with this. Like,
I'm currently
working on one about the Reformed Pub, and I'm like, this is going to rustle some jimmies with the Reformed Pub, but
are you
going
to
read
it?
It's still
going to
rustle some jimmies, but.
Are you going to get kicked out?
Again? I don't know. Well, when it gets posted, I don't think so, because when you read it, I basically talk about how, you know, the pub is weird, because you have a lot of YRR in there, and the article will talk about the young Restless and Reformed camp, but you have, you know, a lot of those guys. And you have very few historical classical Calvinists and strong ones like me. There's James White, there's some others in there. But then in the middle you have this good group of mixed, where they're not YRR, but they're not, you know, strong historical. They're more like where you are, Rich, where they're Calvinist, they're strongly Calvinist. They shy away from the young Reformation. You know, the young Reformed and young Restless Reformed. But you, Stephanie, you know, you have those kind of people where they're Calvinists. You know they're Calvinists. They are hardcore Calvinists. But they don't take the stances a lot of times of the historical and strong Calvinists. So.
Right, and speaking from my personal,
and it's very weird.
But you kind of know why I stand where I do. It's mainly because I'm working. I'm coming from bringing my theology and my stuff into and dealing with worldview issues a lot. So I'm kind of, I got to pose things and do stuff in certain ways that people are going to, and I don't want to turn people off to what I'm saying. And it's not like a self-promoting, trick or anything, if you want to say like that, or deception. Because, I make no doubts about, people have heard me on the show. I say on my Facebook page, I say, all the time, people that know me know I'm Reformed. I hold to Reformed theology. Because I believe Reformed theology gives the best answers to the tough questions. Do we have all the answers? No, because, if we did, then we're putting God in a doctrinal box, and that becomes a problem. But, I've said this several times, if you have every answer for the God you're worshiping, then he really isn't God. So if you take the mystery away of why God does things, then what are you worshiping? God or man or yourself? I just don't stout Reformed theology all over the place. I guess I come to it more, and you're a little more hardline on this than I am. My focus is, okay, I don't care if you're Reformed or, you never heard of Reformed, but, my focus, and ultimately your focus too, is bring it back to Christ and Jesus and preaching the gospel and the Great Commission. You just go more about it from a historical Reformed way, and I do it, I would say, maybe more of a moderate way. I guess
there's two
that comes from
within
our tutoring styles.
But also don't forget that, you may not know this as much, but within Presbyterianism, there's the old side and the new side. The old side, this split came in 1741 during the Great Awakening era. And this was a split
Finney's
within
era?
Presbyterianism of, no, this was the first Great Awakening, Charles Hodge
Log
College and all that.
Clarification for everybody, just so we know our historical where we're at. The first Awakening. Yeah.
But it was it's old side and new side. You're more of that new side where it was pro-revival. A lot of the Presbyterians were pro-revival. And I definitely strongly fall on the old side of the anti-revival.
And I'm a mixed bag of nuts on that side, besides just being nutty in general.
You're a mixed bag, all right. You are nuts.
I'm very very unique. People try pinning down exactly. I'm very unique because I would agree with you. I'm very anti-revival, as you would see.
You fall on the new side. You're more pro-revival than I am. And what they mean by pro and anti-revival is at the time, the pro-revivals. The old side, the anti-revival people were the people who did not want to deal with because within Presbyterianism and the First Great Awakening and that revival, the new revival, the new side, or the pro-revival people were kind of going in and changing a lot of the infant baptism theology within trying to make it easier for people to baptize their babies. That came about with the revival, with relativism and all of that. And so that's kind of if we were to look at those two nowadays, it would be, the hardcore Calvinist, the old side versus the new side of your YRR and the middle guys, like you would have your James White and your Mark Driscoll, type of a people. But at the end of the day, and the only reason why I say you're more new side is because you look from your worldview background with all that, you you're more new side in the sense that you would, if you lived back then, you would have been head over heels within that revival, just because of how you are.
Yeah.
Where I would be saying, no, we don't need the revival. The revival should be happening within the church. The revival in and of itself should be coming from the church up, not these big, massive tent parties like they were having them.
Right.
And it was basically the formation of relativism within Christianity and the gospel.
Okay.
So.
Right. And we should stress this out to begin. Both of this is what we're talking about is both within Orthodoxy. So we're not outside, you know, this is just, this would be a plumetic apologetic topic, if you want to say, meaning that it's in-house debate. It's nothing that makes you a Christian or not a Christian. These are just two forms of, you know, basically different how you would define yourself.
Well,
categorizations.
Yeah.
I'm
old side, strictly because
right.
I think that a lot of the, even in the first and the second Great Awakenings, I think they really caused a lot of false, they both brought upon a lot of false conversions, and people who thought they were saved weren't. And Charles Finney in the Second Great Awakening even admitted himself that 90% of the people he converted weren't actually converted.
Right,
and that's why
I was wondering which enlightenment you were talking about.
The first Great Awakening had less of that.
Right.
Had less. There was probably a lot more true conversions within that with Charles Hodge and a lot of those guys. But at the same time, whenever you have a huge revival, that's going to
happen. You have a huge... Right. And see, I would agree with you. And that's why I would lean more towards and less. But you're right. I'm probably towards a new revival, but on the lesser scale of it. Because I would agree with you 100%.
You
are
definitely probably new side.
New side, yeah. But I would also agree that there's problems within that. Because look at all the false conversions we have. Look at all the problems we have today because of that. Look at what came out of this, and this stems. I mean, you had Derby, and you had a Schofield Study Bible, which all of a sudden, when that started coming, guess what happened? You started getting from traditional all millennialism. You started getting teachings such as dispensations of time, and that's where you started getting pre-trib, post-trib, and all this other stuff off in left field, from traditional church.
Post-trib and all-mill are the two most biblical
right.
when you look at them. The only difference between post-mill and all-mill is the millennial reign of Christ, basically.
Right.
And so most of your Calvinists are either going to be post-mill or all-mill. A lot of your stronger, more historical Calvinists are going to be all-mill, just because historically
that's
what the church has been.
Yeah. I'm all-mill.
I'm all-mill
well,
as well.
That's why
I do know some brothers out there who, like Jovan McKenzie,
right.
if I remember right, he is post-mill.
Right. And there's not, right. And again, this is a debatable topic. And, but this is why creeds and confessions are important. Because we know, because of creeds and confessions, what is a debatable topic, what isn't, and with what is an orthodoxy and what isn't. That's why I say I'm a bit mixed egg. Of nuts in that sense, because I'm all mill, but I'd fall in that new, But again, that's because I don't deal with.
I'm pro revival in a sense of if it's not an OPC church, I struggle. I really
right.
do.
And, right, and that's just because we were raised different. But. I can go in fellowship.
I was raised at UMC, though. So I was raised in a very liberal UMC church. But at the same time, with where my theology is, if I struggle. I squirm if I'm not in that OPC church. And this past Lord's Day was so evident of that, where I was just like, I got out of there. And nothing against... I just got a message from Stephanie because I was at her Reformed Baptist church this past Sunday, and she's like, "Really? All capitals? ?" You struggle at a non-OPC church? ?"
Now I will say
being,
this
because I'm
some,
being so yeah. sarcastic there.
I will say this, and this is advice to Charlie from somebody who's been around where he's been and. Had to learn grace and you know, the focus to be always mainly on, you know, always put on Christ.
Mm.
And that, you know, I used to struggle a lot with what you struggled with. You know what I'm saying? And it's just,
well, and it's not the theology that I struggled
yeah.
with.
Is it the orthodoxy? Or the
no,
playing out of it?
It's just like, I am so used to the OPC sermons where
okay.
it is yeah. scripture backed up after scripture. Just you're linking all these forms of scripture. And there's just so much of, because when it comes to the regulatory principle, in the OPC, we are very strict on a regulatory principle.
Right.
Like, for example, the only people who are allowed in the pulpit, you know, the only people who
right.
are allowed in the pulpit are the elders.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who are allowed to take collection of money are the deacons, because their job is to be that financial support for the, to watch and seek over, you know, financially and, you know, monetarily and all that stuff for the congregation, where the elders are spiritual heads. But, you know, to see non-elders in the pulpit and to see non-deacons taking collection, it just, I was sitting there like, you know, kind of like, and there, I mean, the sermon wasn't
bad. Hey, keep talking
a second. I'm not saying the sermon at all was horrible or was unbiblical by any means. I mean, the sermon was good. It was decent, but it was, theology was talked, there was one text, there was no supporting text all the way through. Basketball was kind of talked about a little bit too much for my liking. You know, and what I can do, if you guys, if we want, I will not do a sermon review, because I already promised Stephanie I would not do a sermon review of the church. But what we can do is we can post a link to the YouTube video and a link to a sermon. They're going to be on two different topics, but just to kind of, we can post it on the EBC Facebook page, the two links to show what I'm used to and what I was listening to. And so, but I mean, Rich, when you get the chance one Sunday, you'll have to come up to Apple Valley with me.
Right.
And
I'd like to.
You can, you, if you want to too, Rich, you can listen to Apple Valley and Sermon Audio.
All right.
So
yeah.
We're on Sermon
and,
Audio.
You know, and that's the thing. Why don't you put that out there? I mean, because, I think it's important on our show. You know, we tell people, you know, if you're in a certain area, if you're looking for a church, a good church. I mean, I can suggest a few, and I'm sure mm-hmm. you can up in, you know, in your area.
And you know what? If there was this, if you're a Baptist and you were in this, in Anderson, Indiana is very Church of God. I mean, you have Anderson University, which is a Church of God university. And you probably have about 40 different, you know, Church of Gods. Hi, lady. Hi. What, do you have to go potty, lady? Okay, Rich, hang on one second. I'll finish that thought. I have to let the dogs out real quick. So.
Right. Well, As Charlie takes care of his dogs, and that's part of doing vlog talk down in our bunker. Sometimes we got
not
you know,
my
animals.
Dogs. They're Stephanie's dogs. But
well,
thank you for calling them my dogs.
You're welcome. that's just part of the show. But as I was saying, you know, Charlie will give the information for his show and you know, or for his church in his area and. You know, if you happen to be in the Kenosha area, or Racine area, I can, you know, suggest a couple of good churches. And here's the thing. Charlie is very well, he likes, you know, he deals and likes, you know, wants to attend a church that's Reformed. Me, I come from a different background. I mean, I'm Reformed. There's no, you know, but I can fellowship with those who are not Reformed and find a good church. And it just happens to be the church I am attending now. First Sunday I show up, guess what? The pastor is a five-point Calvinist. All right, you know, Reformed. Even though the church is not Reformed. The church is, you know, not Reformed, but the pastor, and he's talking on Ephesians, you know, we started a new chapter in Ephesians when I first attended a church, and he's talking about total depravity. And he's talking, you know, man, my friend Bill, who occasionally listens to the show, and I'd love to have him on here one time, you know, talk about his ministry and what he does. And he's like, man, he thought I was going to jump out of the chair because I was so excited. But, you know, the thing being, though, you know, not everybody there is reformed, but the focus being on Christ. The focus should always be on Christ. You know, if you're in a Reformed Baptist church, if you're in a Southern Baptist church, if you're, you know, Wells, if you're, you know, Lutheran, if you're, you know, Reformed non-denominational, Calvary Chapel, even though they're really not a church, but they call themselves a church. I can't figure that one out. But it always should be, the focus should be, and emphasis should be on Christ and fellowship in Christ, you know, because they're all within orthodoxy. And that's the thing, you know, and it's where we run into a problem. And if, you know, like I said, if you guys are in Kenosha, Racine, I'll give all the information real quick. You know, Kenosha, it's KCBE Bible Church, which is Kenosha Bible Church. And they're located right off of Highway 31 and 67th Street. And I would check them out. You can go to their website at kbc.com or kenoshabiblechurch.com. Just Google that and you'll get all the information. Now, if you're in Racine area, you can go to Grace, Grace in Racine, it's called, or Grace Church in Racine, and check out their pastor, Joel Lindsay. We were attending there. It just wasn't a bad church, just wasn't our style. Wasn't, you know, we just found it to be more of a advantageous to be down where we're going now. And their information, like I said, is graceinracine.com, or Grace Church. Just Google that, and it'll come up, and solid, actually Reformed preacher. And, you know, it was just, it was a good church, just didn't fit our, what we wanted, time-wise and what we could do with the schedules. Both my wife and I attend there. And here's the other thing. Charlie, you're attending a church from a single guy's perspective, or, you know, you're in a relationship with Stephanie, well, but you know, you're not married.
I was gonna say, I'm single, non-married. Yeah, it's,
right.
No,
you're not married. Let's put you non-married. At least I don't think you got married since the time I saw you when you stopped by my house now, right? I mean, okay.
Well, Rich, Stephanie and I do have to talk to you about. No, I'm kidding.
Oh. yeah. Okay. No, but
the courthouse. You know, that was that was a nice looking place. I'm kidding.
but as as I was saying, you know, you're coming from it from a non-married perspective. I'm coming from it as a worship, looking for a church from being married with a wife, you know, that has a very difficult background from the raising. And sometime I'd love to get her on a show because she was raised Jehovah's Witness, never was baptized, never really believed it. Always, this is, you know, why I always say I strictly really do believe in predestination and election, because by all rights she should have been like every other family member in that family in a JW, but from day one she never believed it was right.
And she also married you, so I mean,
yeah, well, you got to give her credit there, you know. Like I've always said, she has good excellent taste, except when it comes for a taste in men. And,
well,
you know,
you're living proof of that, my friend.
Yeah, that's true. Now, like I was saying, basically that I'm coming from it when we look at a church and we're looking at it from, I have a family I have to consider and what's going to feed them. Me, I can flip open my Bible. Yeah. I can study theology. I can study Reformed doctrine. I can, and get fed. My wife, she doesn't learn that way. That's not how she gets fed. That's not what she, you know, in a sense, same way I do. And she isn't in the stuff I'm in. So, you know, all the time learning, studying, and doing what I'm doing. So, and same thing with my son. So I have to look at a church. Okay, what's going to feed them? What's going to be biblically sound and it's going to, at the same time, feed them and focus on Christ? Because honestly, I don't care if my wife's reformed or if my son's ever reformed. That's not the sticking point. Sticking point is, are they in a relationship with Christ? You know,
well,
it wasn't like, you know,
you know,
matter
though,
of fact,
Rich,
yeah.
I do message. Stephanie has a bone to pick with you after the show. So
what?
No, she just has a bone to pick with you because she, because you mentioned, or this is her exact message to me. Just because someone's a 5-point Calvinist does not mean they're reformed. ... Right? And then I get a, And then I get another message right after that saying, don't challenge Rich on the show necessarily. We can talk about it later. And now I just got a message in all caps, seriously, ! So I just called, I put her on the spot. But what she means by that is just because you call yourself a five-point Calvinist does not necessarily mean that you classify as a reformer. If you are
technically
and historically a true reformed person is going to be a Paedo Baptist, a five-point Calvinist can be a
non-Paedo Baptist. Right.
It could be a would be someone who holds the Baptist theology.
Right.
So.
Well, my point being that again, I'm using terminology that people are familiar with, and not you know what I mean.
No, I know.
When I'm I'm doing a generalized.
I know.
Generalization, not a specific.
I think she was giving.
Certain,
I think she was trying to just give you a hard time. So.
That being, you know, like I said, you know, I didn't watch for some time. It was with Danny, my wife. I didn't go. Oh, are you reformed? Are you reformed? Are you reformed? You know, one day, you know, I'm sitting there going, talking about pre-election. You know, election, predestination, all, you know, 5 point, and, you know, I'm talking about, and she goes, yeah, you know, that makes sense. So, you know, we're talking, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, so you're a farmer? And she goes, yeah, I have been for, you know, and I guess, and she goes, I guess if that's what you call it, then I guess I am, you know, and it was kind of like, I guess she was, again, you know, reformed before she realized she was, reformed, and, and again, you know, it's not like, you know, if my son said, oh, well, I don't like reform. Okay, whatever. You know, my focus, and that's with anybody, is Christ, you know, and worshiping Christ and the relationship with Christ. Reformed theology, well, okay, long you're not out there going, well, you know, those Calvinists, you know, they're all damned and going to hell and you know, and are heretics, and, you know, then I take off the, you know, then I take off the mittens, we put on the boxing gloves, and we go at it. But, you know, if you just say, hey, I just don't disagree with it, because I got friends that, you know, at church don't agree with it, but, you know, they're still brothers and sisters in Christ. They just haven't, either because, you know, maybe they haven't studied it. Maybe they haven't, you know, they're just not that into theology or whatever. You know what I mean? Their focus is Christ.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them a bad person or, you know, like I'm trying to win them over to Reformed theology. And Charlie's going, why not? Why not? Why not? You should be.
No, I'm actually not saying that, because if they listen to our show long enough, they will become reformed. End of story. But
yeah, you know.
So just like, you know, but, like I told Stephanie, she would be a Paedo Baptist before we were dating, and she was. So.
And I just got a what?
But
I'm getting. Oh, I got ticks. Oh, okay. Never
from
mind.
Who?
Was that from Bill?
No. Is he listening right now?
It was for something for work. Well,
you
got to
go in and load tonight?
No,
if you have to go in and load tonight, you may have Coggers calling you again.
No, it had nothing to do with that. It was Saturday. We're turning, and this is going to make Charlie's skin crawl, what we're doing. You know. We're turning the church into a golf course, a mini golf course.
Inside?
The entire church building. Huh? Inside. Except the sanctuary, okay? Not the pulpit area.
No. No.
Yeah.
No.
So.
I cringed when I walked into Edgewood Baptist Church. On Sunday, I saw a gymnasium in there. I was cringing. It was,
We're turning the church.
Do it in the parking lot.
If you guys are in the Kenosha area, and, you know, you happen to stop by, you know, you can contact us on the website. I'll post the information out there actually on the website. And, you know, if you got kids, bring them on down there, and, you know, it's basically mainly kind of like all the life groups are getting together and having a fellowship time and taking the kids through and different kind of themes. So we're sponsoring a whole Bill's radio ministry that he does with the church, where they broadcast live on, you know, the AM station, the service and all that. And then they
Rich,
do.
You're gonna make me go grab the bottle of Maker's Mark and just say, "Forget the glass here." If you keep this up, jeez.
And we're gonna get together. And we're gonna do a mini golf course. Now, there's nothing heretical about having a mini golf course. And no, like I said, they're not doing it in a sanctuary. They're not doing it, you know, by the that's off limits. It's just in the church hallway. And you, where the church is set up, it's almost like two separate buildings. So kind of not even in the churchy part. It's in the annex. So it's kind of fun, you know. So we're sponsoring a hole and doing a theme and, you know.
Rich, I really, really hope that I get a small, small church where all it basically is the office, a couple cry rooms, the bathroom, a small kitchen,
mini
and
golf
sanctuary. So you can't come in. You can't come in and do things.
With my new, what was it called? My new, what would that be?
Your new side?
The new side of,
That just has to deal with revival. That has nothing to do with your mini golf. That would be. You're acting like a young, restless, and reformed person right now, Rich. You're acting like a borderline Arminian right now.
No, see, this is where Charlie and I strongly, you know, differ. You know, I mean, you know, I see no problem in it, and you know, having a little. This isn't like on a Sunday; it's a Saturday night. We're gonna be just, you know, having a little get together to
break the Sabbath now.
Huh?
So now we're breaking the Jewish Sabbath. I got it. Fine. We'll break the Jewish Sabbath now just to go golfing. I see how it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you guys inviting Obama? Because you know how much he loves to golf. So.
There you go. No, Obama. No. But, no, we're going to have a little fun, you know, so. I know Charlie's sitting
wait,
there.
Wait, so wait, what day is this?
Saturday. Saturday.
You're lucky I'm in Anderson, Indiana.
Yes, I am.
Because,
or
let's not forget, WWJD and turning over tables and driving people out with a whip is not out of bounds.
Again, it's not going to be an
issue. I will go and get my Indiana. No, if you look and read the text, it was not in the actual temple. It was in the foyer of the
courtyard.
Temple. So
yeah.
I will go and get my Indiana Jones whip, and I will go turn over tables and
It'll be Charlie Anna Jones.
Well, I am in Indiana, and if there was a town named Jones, Indiana, that would actually fit.
Yeah.
Stephanie, is there Jones, Indiana, do you know?
No, but.
Yeah,
so that'll be an interesting little venture.
Hey, I have to let the dogs in now. They want to get let in, so.
Okay, have fun
begging me to come in.
Your doggies in. Oh, Terry. Yeah, see. This is a kind of fun we can pull because, you know, ultimately, I mean, you know, you could be totally against that. And, you know, maybe, you know, and, you know, turning the church into a mini golf course, you know, isn't, you know, in some eyes, you know, what are you doing? You know, sacrilegious or, you know, whatever. But ultimately, it's not, you know, we're not defaming anything. We're not going against Christ. We're not, you know. Ultimately, we're going there to fellowship and be brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's going to be a little interesting thing. Like I said, if you guys are in the Kenosha area, come on down, you know, have a little fun. I think it starts at 4:00 and goes till 8 p.m. on this coming Saturday. So have some fun, you know, there's going to be some food there and some kind of fun stuff like that, I guess. So be something kind of fun going on. I know we were talking there and that's what the text message was about that I was receiving, dealing with that. So that's what all the buzzing was about. Now, anyways, so you might be going, okay, what is this creeds and confession, what this all has to do with, you know, ultimately, creeds and confessions and your theology. Well, ultimately, your creeds and your confessions dictate your theology. And that's where Charlie and I were going with this, is basically, in a roundabout way, that, you know, if you're going to leave, or you're going to have a church that does not hold to creeds or confessions, and, you know, like I said, you don't have to ritually make it a formula where every Sunday you say the Apostles' Creed and you say this or you say that and you do this. You don't have to make it a formula. But, you know, you hold to and you have creeds and, you know, everybody says them, or, you know, it's part of the membership, or, you know, they keep you within the line of Scripture. And they allow, and when Charlie gets his church, on a side note, that to have Rich turn it into a mini golf course on a Saturday night.
That will never happen.
No, he's like, that'll never happen. But, no, that's what creeds and confessions, you know, keep us in line in Scripture. So, you know, but. Yeah, so we got a couple, like I said, we got a couple new articles out there. Posted kind of a update on what is transcendental meditation, and posted that out there. And we're working on a couple other articles, getting things rolling, as you could say. Trying to keep pace up a little bit, but, you know. Putting stuff out, but ultimately with the creeds and confessions, churches that, you know, it's so important because everything, it does dictate your theology, and that's where you get, like, you know, women pastors. And eventually I made this correlation. I talked a little bit about this. There's a strong correlation between churches that do not have creeds and confessions, or hold to them, or at least, you know, have them in place, and that eventually slip down the road into, you know, off the rails, then into heresy, and then into damnable heresy, you know. And we see it. You know, we've seen it go from, you know, ELCA, you know, ELCA, from the way they've slowly gone down the rails, you know, now it's a rocket sled, you know, right into to the gates of hell, basically. And, you know, how many... You know, what are we doing as Christians, as believers? I mean, you know, informed or not, what are we doing? Are we sitting on our pews going, oh, well, there goes another one bites the dust? Or are we actually getting out there and doing something about it? And it's, you know, and influencing your theology. You know, I've often said, you know, and this is something I've kind of, Charlie, I don't know if you ever, you know, as Christians, we need to have sneakers on our apologetics, on our theology. We can't just have it sitting in the pews on Sunday, sitting on our bookshelves or sitting in our houses and, you know, doing nothing. God gave us theology, the doctrines, and he gave us the ability of, you know, the apologetics, not to be idle, but to be active. It needs to have sneakers, you know. It needs to, and what I mean by that is it needs to have feet, and you need to be putting it in place and actually doing it and going out there and proclaiming Christ and defending. Not that God needs defending. God doesn't need defending. And, you know, sometimes we hear that, oh, you apologist, you think God needs defending. No, God doesn't need defending. But people need answers. You know, and that's apologetics. We knock down the answers or the questions that get in the way and the objections of hearing the gospel. So, you know, if your theology or your apologetic approach is, oh, I'm just going to sit there and do nothing, well, you need to put some sneakers on there, and you need to start getting people involved in your church. Start getting people, you know, I've talked to, you know, Bill, and I've talked to several other people. I want to get a group of guys together in the church I'm attending who want to go out this summer and do street preaching. Witnessing. It doesn't necessarily, and, you know, Charlie, you and I, our views vary on this too. Effectiveness of street preaching, and I you and I agree on it. It's just variance of view on how, you know, where and when, I think, more, you know, than anything. And I'm not talking where you got to be on a street corner with a blowhorn pointing a finger at everybody and going, you know, you're going to hell, repent. Because a lot of times, if you're not doing it correctly, you're actually doing more damage than good. And I think, Charlie, you would agree with that, mm-hmm. wouldn't you? I mean...
Yeah, I would.
You know.
So, I'm not a... I'm not a huge fan of street preaching, but if it's done right, it's very effective.
Right.
So.
And
but
I, you know, something I like to...
people who are out there doing it aren't doing it right.
Right.
So.
And something, you know, I always like, you know, Matt Slick, Carm, does Matt Slick live show in Boise. You know, he's often said this when it comes to that type of, you know, thing. It's law, gospel, and cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's going to cost you something to follow mm-hmm. Christ. It's just not, you know, you need to preach that.
Yeah.
And you also, you know, I know you're not a big Way of the Master or Ray Comfort fan. I'm not, you know, because he's
mm-hmm.
definitely Arminian. You know, he's definitely,
really?
You know, his area is not.
He's Arminian?
Yeah. His
really?
Definitely is not theological, you know, it's evangelism. But his methodology, I think, is a good methodology in using confines of logic to get to people
mm-hmm.
and reason. And I think as, you know, preachers and Reformed preachers and Reformed street preachers, Walter, we can use that methodology of what Ray Comfort does, that logic, that style, in the sense of in our preaching. Because you look like
mm-hmm.
Mike, I can't think of his name, does Cross Encounters Radio. You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Mike, can't think of his last name. But anyways, he's Reformed, and he uses that same method, and he's very effective. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, you know, taking the theology of what Ray Comfort preaches, but using the style and adapting that style to our style, you know, our preaching in Reformed theology, you know, a Reformed perspective of doing street preaching, you know, and I think that's
mm-hmm.
important, you know, because a lot of times, like I said, and you've seen it, we've seen it, and we've seen it on YouTube, we've seen, you know,
yeah.
videos and that, you know, Reformed, they're just going about it the wrong way, and they're not to the gospel. They're the only one there because they've alienated themselves so far. You know what I mean? It's just basically
yeah.
comes down to
mm-hmm.
yes, the cross is offense, the preaching the truth is offensive, but they've done it in such a manner, and I will say this just bluntly, they're being rude and not considerate to other people.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can preach the gospel and be offensive, and you can preach the offense of the cross, but do it in a manner
yeah.
that is not rude, and not point a picture at them, but
mm-hmm.
point to finger at you. And that's what I'm talking about, because if you ever watch Ray Comfort, he doesn't point at you, you're a bad person, you're a bad person. He points at, hey, listen, look, I sin too. I'm guilty of the same thing you're, you know, guilty of, the same sin, you know.
Yeah.
And taking the blame and
mm-hmm.
the offense and putting it on him and drawing the parallel and then preaching the gospel. And I think
yeah.
we
yeah.
need to learn from that. And that's what I mean by the
mm-hmm.
practice of what he does, you know.
Yeah.
Still being
mm-hmm.
offensive, still
yeah,
preaching offense and the truth, but doing it in a manner that
yeah.
by the time you get to the gospel, you're not the only one because you've been rude. I've seen
mm-hmm.
these guys with blowhorns and stuff, you know, sometimes it's just too much.
Yeah.
I'm not saying their heart
so,
isn't
hey,
in the right
Rich,
place or, you know. Yeah.
I just thought of something.
Yeah.
Or not thought of something. I I know Stephanie may be shooting you a message at some point because I know she wants to team up with you. On something for next month that
okay.
I'm not supposed to know about around, you know, like, you know, you should know what
oh.
I'm talking about for next month. You
yeah.
should know what next
yeah.
month is. So.
Yeah, it's April.
So she may be sending you a, yeah, but what happens in April?
Lots of things happen in April.
I get older.
I know
in
you
April.
Get older. Yes, well done.
So.
I get younger.
She's going to message you at some point. She's going to message you at some point, I think, in reference to a certain day in April
okay.
and talk to you about something that I kind of was joking with her about it, but I think she's going to take it seriously. And if that did happen, I would not complain one bit. Just saying.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to give you a heads up.
I'll
way you're not kind
of
like, whoa, what the hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I get younger in April.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you
I refuse to get older. I
just
keep getting younger. Yep.
Are you going to
yep.
regenerate?
Regenerate and yeah,
are you
regenerate.
You're the doctor, aren't you? You're
yeah,
a time
regenerate,
lord. You're the doctor.
Yeah, you caught me. Yep. How do you think
it.
I'm able to do work? How do you think I'm able to put myself in two places, work and do the show at the same time?
Oh, is that how you do it? You have a
yeah.
That's not a doctor. That's just cloning yourself.
Well, you know, it's TARDIS. You know, maybe we'll fly around in time and, you know, manipulate confines of time structure. You know?
True.
Hey, that would make an interesting show. I just thought of something. Well, I mean, you know, for all the conspiracy theory people out there, you know, we got conspiracy theory out there, Christians out there, you know.
Unfortunately.
One time, like, you know, maybe a fun little sideshow kind of topic on a Thursday would be a dealing with parallel universes, existence, you know, time travel and that kind of sort of stuff.
I just got a message saying it's bigger on the inside, Rich.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So.
Yes.
Yes.
For all your Whovian developers.
Yeah, right. For those of you guys who are reformed in your theology, there is an app out there put out by Westminster Seminary, California, that is called Confessions and Creeds. It does not have the LBC in it, but what it does have in it, it has Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian Creeds. It has the Belgic Confession of Faith, Heidelberg Catechism, and the Canons of Dort, which the Belgic, Heidelberg, and the Canons of Dort are referred to as the three forms of unity. And it also has in it the Westminster Standards, which contain the Shorter Catechism, Larger Catechism, and the Confession of Faith. It's a free app. You get all of those for free in the app. It's put out by Westminster Seminary, California. It's called CR and RC, so it's Christian Creeds and Reformed Confessions. So,
cool.
You guys can find it in. I don't know if Windows phones do not have it, I believe. So if you have an Android or you have a Fruit phone, you can get it in your respective app stores.
A fruit phone.
Do you know what I'm referring to when I say a fruit phone, Rich?
Yes, I know what you're referring to.
What am I referring to?
Aren't those for fruity people?
No, I'm referring to an apple.
I know.
An iPhone.
Well, wait,
and
now
I
you
know
call
why
it a
anyone
fruit
in the
phone.
Right mind
would... Wait. First you call it a fruit phone, then an iPhone. Which one is it? Do you got your eye or is it a fruit?
Well, it's a fruit phone because it's made by Apple, and Apple's a fruit.
I know, but then you're calling it an iPhone. You're getting me confused because now you know I'm thinking your phone's got an eye in it. You know, your eye has a phone in it.
No.
Hey,
have an eye in it. It is not a phone that is used. My phone is not a Illuminati phone. Did not have the all-seeing eye.
Had to go right to the conspiracy theory. Oh, man. Oh, no, the conspiracy theory stuff, man. That stuff, you know. I don't, you know, work in the goofy hours I work and stuff. And, you know, this is why it's so important to have your doctrine and your theology down, just on a little side note, you know. Really understand creeds and
side note. This whole entire show is about a side note. That's not a side note. That's getting us back on topic.
Yeah. Well, just out of, you know, all the things to listen, you know, to, you know, because I'm up really weird hours, so, you know, I get AM radio, you know, George Norrie and, you know, Coast to Coast. I'm sure you heard of them, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you know, well, okay, you know, I flipped through there, and he's got a lot of whack-a-doodle, you know, people on there.
Whack-a-mole.
And, you know, yeah. Well, interestingly enough, and the reason I bring this up, he had Mark Blitz on there the other day. And I don't know if you're familiar who he is, but he is the pastor that is behind the supposed discovery of the red, you know, the Blood Moon trilogy stuff that's going on, and you know how this is all, you know, we wrote articles on it on our website.
Someone actually posted in Someone actually posted in Calvinism and Arminianism Biblical Theology a link exposing that.
Yep. I was just going to say, because we wrote a couple articles exposing that at EBC, mm-hmm. empoweredbychrist.org. I was going to repost them because, you know, he comes up again. Well, he was on there and I was flipping through, and, you know, so I listened. And it really ties into why it's so important because, you know, this is a perfect example of somebody who made a supposed discovery, and you know how this is supposed to bring in a tribulation and all this, and these days, you know, when they happen, you know, and all this mm-hmm. stuff, and supposed to usher in the, you know, the return of Christ and that, well, in tribulation and that. Well, I'm sorry, but this person, well, first of all, Mark Blitz, he's part of the Hebrew Roots movement, which, if you know anything about, is purely heretical. We wrote on that, and I'm not going to go through all that because that's an hour and a half show right there, what they teach and what's wrong with mm-hmm. it, what they're teaching. But,
yeah,
you know, their theology is often, let's put it this way, they don't have all the paws in the kitty litter. Their 100-watt bulb is not burning at 100 watts. And so he's part of that. Yeah. And basically, so he's, you know, saying all these statements, you know, out there, and it basically comes down to his theology. I was listening to him and, you know, in and out and, you know, as I was doing my stuff. And it's just like, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, this is the perfect example of someone who's obviously their theology is way out there. And I bet you, if you look, and obviously, you know, cause I know the past of, cause I've researched him and wrote about him and his movement and all that. And his whole blood wounds thing, you know, here, his upbringing is up. He attended a church with, guess what? Guess what there wasn't in place? I don't think he's ever seen
confession.
A creed or a confession. So he's had no guide to hold his theology in. So, you know, this is an example of, you know, these people are falling for this blood moon conspiracy theory. And I'm just going to say, and I don't like to say a lot on the radio, but I'm going to call it what it is. Crap. You know, it's because they're attending churches and following people who have never held to a creed or a confession, have never understood the mm-hmm. importance of a creed and confession and how that yep. holds us in line in Scripture. Because if you're following a creed and confession, and like I used that little, you know, analogy earlier, as weak as it is, that basically you're following, you know, you're going down a road and, you know, on each side you got the rumble strips and you start veering off and you get the rumbling sound. Well, that's a creed or confession, pulling you back into the Word of God. You know, pulling you back into the Word of God all the time. And these people are often, you know, piecing, you know, eisegesis, you know, of Scripture, not exegesis. And they're basically all over the place, you know, piecing this Scripture together with that Scripture. And, oh, look, now we got this new, you know, doctrine and theology. And this, oh, this end time thing's going to happen. This event's going to happen here because, well, they don't have grounding and proper hermeneutical, you know, rendering of Scripture and context of Scripture because, again, they have nothing holding their theology from going off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
So I just thought it was interesting because, like I said, it's, you know, he's on there and you got others now claiming, you know, like, you know, John Hagee. I'm sure, you know, we've written on him and I got a couple of articles on him too. You know, and his, you know, his false teachings and, you know, so many people follow him, think he's so great, you know. But, you know, and he's into this big red moon or blood moon thing. And then you got, I don't know if you ever heard of this end time person. I got to do some research on him. Urban Baxter.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he's another one. Big end time. He's the kind of guy. I've heard of him. I've listened to him in the past and, you know, back when I was in Kansas and that, you know, not like listen to him following, but kind of like listen to him like, okay, this guy's nuts. You know what I mean? This is before I was even in apologetics. Yeah. And he's got a radio show End Times or something. And he, this is the kind of guy that kind of goes and opens the newspaper up, right? And kind of lets the newspaper events interpret what's happening End Times in Scripture, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
Like he'll see something like happens like in Israel, right? Let's say he'll take the red moons, just let's say the blood moons, right? The red moon, you know, and he'll post that. Now he'll be discussing all that and how that goes, and look how this ties into the scripture and that, and like when Chernobyl melted down, he's like quoting off, oh, that's wormwood, and it, when you translate that into wormwood into, or what original language, that's Chernobyl or something. I mean, he's one of these ambulance chasers, but I would say he's one of these prophecy chasers, always looking for a prophetic event on every rock.
It's actually really interesting because within Islamic understanding and Islamic theology, there's a, I'm blanking on the actual technical name of it, but it basically what they do is they take what the news and what's going around them, and they interpret the Quran through that.
Yeah.
And I believe it's the Shiites, I believe, who have outlawed it completely. The Shiites they only allow one or two people to partake in. It's jihad. It's called Ijtihad. And I believe it's the Sunnis who only allow like one or two imams in the whole entire part of it to do Ijtihad. The Shiites have outlawed it completely. The Sunnis allow a few to partake in it.
Right.
But I don't remember exactly. I could have the two groups flipped. I know one group has outlawed it completely. No one's allowed to partake in it. The other group only allows like two people to do it, one or two people. And so, but yeah. So, but you know,
right.
I can't talk about Islamic stuff because, you know, we're Christian. And that has nothing to do with relevance with anything in Christianity, not whatsoever. Oh, wait, no, that one caller's not here. Never mind.
Oh, man. I'm trying to look at the term. I know what you're talking about.
I missed that day. It's called Ijtihad.
Yeah,
I missed
okay.
that day.
Yeah,
I miss having that call on. I wish we could get more callers on.
Yeah, well,
so,
like I've often said, we got to work on a consistent schedule. I think that's half our issue. We float around too much.
Yeah, well, I think once I get internet and I get and I'm more situated financially, we'll have that routine schedule. So,
mine is the nature of the beast of the job I'm in. So,
I know. But once I get my day, my show set, and it's that same time every week, I'm also gonna start having guests on, which will probably allow for more people to call in. So,
right.
And you know, and don't forget, I mean, once Stephanie gets comfortable on the radio, she'll have her own show.
Exactly. So, exactly, and it, you know, it's kind of where we want to take that, you know, and kind of divide up everything. But
yep.
Yeah. So you know, as we're staying, you know, we've kind of talked, you know, a wide gamut of why creeds and confessions are important, and you know, it really does infect our theology. You know, it's I'm not saying, and I think this is something we gotta, you know, restate that, you know, if you're in a church that doesn't have creeds and confessions, it's not necessarily de facto that you're going to go off the rails. And, you know, it's just something
that's
to keep in mind.
Saying I don't have a creed is having a creed.
Creed, right, exactly.
That's
something Charlie brought up,
too.
You know, you get these Christians that say, oh, I don't have a creed. I don't do creeds and confessions. Well, that's a creed in itself. But I believe the Bible. Well, the Bible's a creed. So you
all
have a
creed.
Creed
means is what I believe.
Yep, exactly. So when you have a church that when you have a church that goes, oh, we don't do creeds, so then you don't have a statement of faith? Then you don't tell your people what you believe?
So
I kind of like to pull that one once. That'd be kind of a fun one to, you know. I want to mention real quick, you know, we're talking about financial stuff and everything. Coming up here in April, starting beginning of April, we're going to be doing that fundraiser for getting our 503C going. So just to let everybody know, I'm going to have more information on when that gets started and what that's going to be. So we're going to be doing a fundraiser just to get our 503C and get that out there. And like I said, it's the purpose of getting to 503C isn't...
Tell people not to, remind people not to forget to send me a birthday present too.
Yeah, there you go. Yep. But you can, you know, the purpose of the 503C is not to just to make us, oh, look, we want to be, financially with it, or like, the, you know, with the other, you know, everybody else is doing to kind of jump on a bandwagon. No. We have found, we've been, like I've said to Charlie, you know, we've had and we've discussed this, you know, on the phone and stuff, off the air, that we've been asked to speak at conferences. We've been asked to do events. We've been asked to do apologetics events at churches. Problem being, we don't have the 503C to be compatible with what they need so they can do it, have us do what we need to do. You know,
yeah.
It's one of those tax issues. You know, that's basically what it comes down to. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a compliance issue.
Yep.
And so for us, in order to do more than what we're doing, that's why we kind of need to just have it. You know, we're a fan and we've waited off until we actually needed it, you know, to do it. We kind of need it to, you know, we have offers and, you know, even if we've been approached to do radio shows on AM stations here and, you know, in the local area. And until, because we don't have the 503C, we can't use the ministry's name. It's legality,
yep.
So, and that's, so it's like I said, it's one of those issues. So we're looking at we're going to be doing a fundraiser strictly to raise money for that, you know, that purpose. So, and go from there. So we'll see what happens. Basically, I was going to say that coming up, you know, you're going to be getting your own show started, you know, on Wednesdays. And we're going to be looking at getting Stephanie started eventually on whatever day. You know, we don't know yet when her schedule is fixed. So, you know, things are progressing. Things are doing well, you know, by God's will, you know. God's grace, God, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to say, if you guys want to comment,
all going to come down to when we can get our schedules done. I'm trying to find new jobs or a new job from.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
well, it is what it is. Like I said earlier in the show, it is what it is, and we just got to deal with what we got to deal with. And, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing bad, you know. So. But as I said, you know. Well, you know, it is. We're going to have to deal with what we got, you know, to deal with. And right now, this is just it. So, best we can do with what we got, you know. I'd love to be able to do this 80 hours a week or whatever, you know, for my full-time job. And like I said earlier, work a full-time job plus I do this. So, a lot of times, it does seem like a full-time job, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not complaining. You know, I'm just, is what it is.
And I've even mentioned, with me being in school and everything, you know, I would love to be able to have, you know, EBC being a full-time job for me. So that way I can go to school. I don't have to worry about, you know, coming home and having 2 hours to get homework done, as much homework done as I can, and then having to go to work for 7 hours. That would be nice, but, you know, it's not rational. It's not, you know, unless we somehow got to, you know, unless someone basically came and said, hey, I'm a billionaire. I'm going to basically fund your ministry and, you know, take care of, you know what I mean? So, but that, you know, so.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, looking at, you know, the news and that.
What, we got an email from the billionaire?
No, we should do hate mail one day. I got a couple doozies.
Do you?
Oh, well, yeah.
Do you
want to
do tomorrow, TNT? Since today's show kind of spun away from the original topic, do you want to do a two-hour show tomorrow, the first hour we kind of wrap up Creeds and Confessions and actually wrap up Creeds and Confessions, and then second hour we do hate mail? Okay.
Yeah, so. Providing I can get the hate mail to come up, because you know sometimes how that works. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, we can actually wrap up. Yeah, we got a little off topic today, but hey, it makes it fun, you know? Keeps it interesting. So.
And you
but
know, it
anyways,
is, it
we,
is
we're
nice.
Most
it
probably
is.
Gonna. Huh?
You gonna? Are we cutting out early?
Well, I gotta be at where I gotta be at 5. It takes me 10 minutes to get there, but I gotta get ready.
Okay.
But, you know, and we're doing tomorrow's show, so. Tomorrow we will be doing our regular scheduled event, wrapping up, as I think, talking confessions and creeds. And where do you want to take it tomorrow, basically, in this last little bit? Where's your – want to give it a little preview?
Well, we'll finish up wrapping up creeds and confessions. I guess I can talk for a while on why – what the theological implications of not having a creed and confession can be. And then we can go
right
into talking and discussing about the hate mail. So,
All right. Yeah, I'll make sure I can pull that up before we see what we can do. You know, and if you want to send us hate mail, we're always open to it.
Yeah.
You know? So. I love hate mail. I love reading hate mail. Yeah.
If it's hate mail that's way out there and outlandish, you won't get a response back.
Yeah. Well, that goes into the wacko mail category. Wacko mail is fun, too.
Mm.
But, you know, people are like, I actually had somebody one time, because we got that section in there. If you click on it, you know, it says send us your hate mail. Somebody actually wrote me in the hate mail section. Why do you have a thing saying, you know, it isn't Christian if you're saying, encouraging people to send you hate mail. My response was, well, they're going to send it to me anyways. I might as well just give them an area to send it.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, you know, reading hate mail and that and wacko mail is fun. It's relaxing to me. After working and doing all this and working as many hours as you do with writing and, you know, work and all that and radio shows, it's, you know, it's actually kind of funny. It's relaxing. and I do it as a teaching tool too, to actually, so we can kind of dissect them and have a laugh, but also kind of have a little fun, but, you know, kind of learn and kind of point out, hey, what's the error in this, you know, line of thinking, you know, as a teaching tool, you know, the logic teaching tool sometimes. So kind of fun doing it that way, if you say.
Yeah.
So I think we can do that, and maybe we can find some wacko mail too. That'd be kind of fun. But, you know, the wacko mail. Did I ever read you the wacko mail about Atomic Man?
No.
I guess if I still have Atomic Man, wacko mail. Oh, man. That was a good one. The gist of it basically, but I can't do it justice without reading it, but basically that we're all atomic men. It was wacko mail. It was pretty good. So, you know.
All right.
But, all right. Well, let's wrap it up and get it out of here for tonight. Charlie's got someplace he's got to be. I got to be someplace. So, like I said, that's why we scheduled the show we did when we did. So, God willing, we will be on the air tomorrow at our normal 2 o'clock Central Standard Time or 3 p.m. Eastern Time, depending on what time zone you're in and where I'm at and Charlie's at, and where you're at, it might be Pacific Standard.
So. If we want to get really technical, Mountain Time, it will be 1 o'clock Mountain Time and noon Pacific Time.
Yes. So
if we want to get real
depending
technical,
on where you're at, that's when you can listen to us. Anyway, so we're out of here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to our rabbit trail of different things. But I hope you guys are blessed and you actually learned something. So, and had some fun along the way. So, God bless, and we'll talk to you hopefully tomorrow. All right. Well, that's a wrap for this show. But remember, the conversation doesn't have to stop here. Make sure to join us on our Facebook page at Empowered by Christ EBC. And on Twitter at EBC Apologetics. Also, make sure you stop by our website at empoweredbychrist.org, where you can check out our latest articles, our blogs, and past archives of this show. Now, if you want to contact us, feel free to send us an email at ebc4u@live.com. Or, if you have a question you want to ask us directly about this show or past shows, feel free to call us and leave us a voicemail at area code 414-369-2242. Well, thank you for listening, and God bless.